This meeting is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining today's media briefing with Tony Khan. Just a few quick items before we get started. To indicate that you'd like to ask a question, please click the hand icon. You can also type in a question anytime in the question and answer section in the lower right hand of the dashboard. Please be sure all panelists is selected in the dropdown. Although you will see a chat bubble, the chat is not available. If you are selected to ask a question, you will receive a pop-up during requesting you unmute your line. Once you've asked your question, we will mute your line to avoid any background noise during the response. It may take just a moment for the audio to connect with the system. Today's session will last approximately 55 minutes, and we will make every attempt to include your question, time permitting. As always, please note that no live streaming or broadcasting of this call is permitted. We will be sharing an audio recording of the session afterwards. I'll now turn the call over to our moderator, Danny.
Thank you, Robin, and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this special call with Tony Khan to discuss the upcoming AEW Dynasty pay-per-view at the Liacoura Center in Philadelphia this Sunday. Just some quick housekeeping items in the interest of time and giving opportunities to as many people as possible. As always, we ask you that you kindly refrain from asking two-parted questions and please try to keep your questions focused on AEW Dynasty. I'm going to turn things over to Tony for some opening thoughts and then we'll open the line for questions. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm really excited about this and fired up for AEW Dynasty this Sunday, April 6th on pay-per-view. I'm excited to see hopefully some of you at the pay-per-view and excited to talk to you all today. And I'm going to try to answer as many questions as possible. It's a really exciting time for AEW. I think we've been on a tremendous run of television, and Revolution was a tremendous way to kick off the pay-per-view calendar. And after such a great Dynasty last year in St. Louis, really looking forward to Dynasty and our pay-per-view debut in Philadelphia, which is one of the most iconic wrestling cities in the world, and so fired up for the weekend and fired up to talk to all of you right now. So with that, Danny, we can take it away.
That sounds great. We're going to start things off with John Alba with the takedown on SI, and he'll be followed by Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk. John, go ahead.
Tony, great to chat with you. Congratulations on the fresh start to the year with all the great pay-per-views. I know you're very excited to eventually get those pay-per-views on Max. So my question is about Max. There was a report this week from SC Scoops that said AW is averaging around 500,000 viewers on Max for Dynamite, which would put the total somewhere in the vicinity of around 1 million viewers per week. I was curious if you could provide any clarification on the validity of that report and the type of messaging you receive as far as viewership on Max.
It's a great question. I was excited about that report, and I've been excited to hear from the Warner Brothers Discovery executives that AEW is one of the top sports events week in, week out, every week on Max. And we've been doing great numbers from everything I've been told. In the streaming industry, the numbers are very confidential, and we were told we would not necessarily be getting the same amount of data every week. I mean, that's been the case. I haven't gotten the weekly reports like we do from the Nielsen data with cable ratings. So I don't know the numbers every week. All I know is we're one of the top shows, and those numbers are very consistent with one of the top shows on Max streaming, which I think the only other public report there had ever been, which I understood was a report directly from Warner Brothers Discovery, is that we're one of the top sports streaming shows. So I think that bodes really well for us, and it's very exciting news and a great report for AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery, which is such a great relationship. You know, in addition to being able to have our shows on TBS and TNT both for many years, and now streaming on Max, we collaborate on a number of projects, including activations in our shows whenever we're able to promote major events for Warner Brothers Discovery, whether it's Shark Week year in, year out for many years, or huge films such as Minecraft. And we have some other great projects working with Warner Brothers Discovery right now. We've collaborated with DC Comics in the past. It's a really exciting time for the AEW Warner Brothers Discovery relationship. And I thought that was a really exciting report for AEW and very consistent with everything we've been told, that while the numbers are being kept close to the vest, we're one of the top sports streaming shows. And everything in that report was consistent with what I've heard. Thanks.
Thanks, Tony. Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk is up next, followed by Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald. Courtney, go ahead. We had Courtney for a second. Let's give her just a second to try and reconnect. Otherwise, we'll jump in with Jim. Courtney, do you want to try unmuting one more time? Yep, we have you.
Okay. Hi, Tony. First off, congratulations on a successful Revolution and also hosting AEW for the first time, first pay-per-view for Philadelphia this weekend. I actually have a question regarding two of your main women's matches this weekend. The first one regarding Toni Storm versus Megan Bain, and also kicking off the Owen Hart women's tournament with Athena and Mercedes Moné. And given the caliber with all four of these ladies, because the last couple of weeks they've had immediate impact, and also just getting your perspective on what are you expecting with this weekend, and also leading up to All In, since all four of them have done incredible work, and also the Owen Hart Women's Tournament kicking off this weekend in Philadelphia.
Well, I'm very excited for AEW Dynasty, and certainly we've got some huge matches with championship stakes, including the AEW Women's World Champion, Timeless Toni Storm, defending the title against Megan Bain, who has been on a dominant run in AEW in recent months. Megan Bain has made a lot of new fans, and Megan Bain has definitely attracted a lot of attention in AEW, dominating the competition, defeating multiple former champions along the way on this remarkable winning streak. And I'm very excited to see Megan Bain challenge somebody who is one of the most compelling wrestlers in AEW, the AEW Women's World Champion, Timeless Toni Storm, who is one of the greatest wrestlers and also one of Hollywood's greatest stars. And it's going to be a true monster movie in this case. It's to see our leading lady against somebody who has been so dominant. It's going to be a really exciting matchup. And it's been a great conflict for the past month on AEW television watching Megan Bain and Timeless Toni Storm butt heads on the path to this huge collision for the AEW Women's World Championship. And the Owen Hart Foundation Women's Cup Tournament kicks off at AEW Dynasty with a huge match, as eight of the top women in AEW are clamoring for a shot at the world championship, and that includes the TBS champion Mercedes Moné and a former TBS champion Julia Hart. This is a match we've looked forward to for a long time, and we're going to get a preview of this match and another great first round match, which is Harley Cameron, another great rising star, versus the ROH Women's World Champion Athena. So we have some great stars and champions in this tournament. I'm very excited about it. I think that it's something to definitely watch on Collision in this exciting, huge main event we have this Saturday to preview the tournament, with the TBS champion Mercedes Moné teaming with her former opponent, Harley Cameron, to take on their respective first round opponents, Athena and Julia Hart. And to have multiple champions and former champions and rising stars all in one great match on Saturday's Collision, we're very excited for that. And I think it's very much representative of the great action we have on this pay-per-view show. I'm really looking forward to AEW Dynasty, and I think that it's a great preview of the action we'll see with Mercedes Moné, the TBS champion, versus the former TBS champion, Julia Hart, that we'll get to see in the main event this Saturday on Collision, when they're on opposite sides in that big tag match. And a lot of exciting matchups and possibilities in the AEW Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament. And I think we'll get a great look at that Saturday, and we're going to have a great start to the tournament at Dynasty on Sunday. Thanks, Raf.
Thanks, Tony, and thank you, Courtney. Jim Barcelone at the Miami Herald, you're up next, and Jim will be followed by Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes. Jim, go ahead. Jim's still working to unmute. Why don't we go ahead and do Alex Hunt with Inside the Ropes, and we will go back to Jim afterwards. Alex, you're up. Alex, go ahead.
Hi there. How are we going, Tony? All good?
I'm very well, very well. I'm glad you're there.
Good, good. Thank you. So, Lex Luger is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame over WrestleMania weekend. And in multiple interviews, he's mentioned that he would like Sting to be part of the induction ceremony, who is obviously part of AEW. If you're approached, is that something you'd be sort of open to do, or is it an off-limits thing that Sting can't appear? Thank you.
I'm not sure. I'm very focused on AEW Dynasty, obviously, is a few days away. I talked to Sting recently before AEW Revolution, looking back on some great memories. Of course, it's hard to think of AEW Revolution without thinking of Sting. He debuted in AEW Revolution and then ended his career at Revolution 3 years later. And so I'll always think of Sting Revolution season. So we caught up on the phone right around the pay-per-view, and that was the last time we'd spoken. So haven't heard from him about that, but certainly he's doing very well, and that relationship and that friendship means so much to me, and we're all very grateful for Sting. I was just doing an interview today or earlier where they asked me some questions about Sting, and anytime I get asked, I will speak glowingly, lovingly, and as the biggest Sting fan. And so I have to say, the last time I talked to Sting, that didn't come up, but would have to talk to him about that. And like I said, very focused on Dynasty and excited for Sunday. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Looks like we've lost Jim Barcelone for the time being, so we are going to move on to Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport, who will be followed by Andrew Baidala with Final Bell Media. Dominic, go ahead.
Yeah, man, I hear you great.
All right, cool. Awesome, you're going to Philly. I wish I could be there. It's one of my favorite cities. I'm across the state in Pittsburgh, so can't make it. But did want to ask about the build towards AEW Dynasty, particularly with Jon Moxley. He's been up against Cope. He's been up against Swerve, obviously. There much talked about was the spiked bat spot going on. And wanted to get your the details behind that, if there was necessarily like collaboration with you and John on that particular spot. Was that discussed? And how do you go about doing something that's appears to be kind of risky in certain aspects like that, but visually effective, so to speak?
That was a great match. And that big street fight in Omaha, John Moxley versus Adam Copeland, set the stage for AEW Dynasty. We knew Swerve Strickland would be challenging for the title, and it was a great street fight, Mox versus Cope. It was a big success for us. If you look, video has been watched millions of times across multiple platforms, and the show delivered. It was a great event for AEW, and it was a dangerous moment in the match when Jon Moxley landed on Spike, and Spike went into Jon Moxley's back in the form of all those nails. And it's a hardcore wrestling moment. And it was something that it was a risk that Adam Copeland and Jon Moxley took in the match, and it really paid off. And Jon Moxley was able to return to the ring last night and will return to the ring at AEW Dynasty. Those are very tough guys, Adam Copeland and Jon Moxley. They put their bodies through a lot, and Swerve Strickland's a very tough wrestler who's put his body through a lot. And we saw what he's willing to go through in his huge rivalry with Hangman Page in their hardcore, hard-hitting matches, and in last night's brawl with Jon Moxley, and the climax of last night's go-home AEW Dynamite. I think it's going to be a great match at AEW Dynasty, and certainly both men have been through a lot to get to this world championship match. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Andrew Baidala with Final Bell Media, you're up next, and then we're going to try Jim Barcelone again. Andrew?
Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Hey,
hey Tony. How are you? Thanks for the time. Really looking forward to this Sunday. I love the inclusion of the Owen Cup on this Sunday's card. Congratulations on another cup and good luck. This question was kind of set up for me, and it's obviously not done on purpose, but recently AEW undoubtedly has been creative with its approach to venues, talent, and live events, which has changed the overall outlook of the company, in my opinion. In the past, we've seen matches that have leaned more into violence. Is this something you will continue to increase element-wise on television as a way to attract a more mature audience? It seems there's an opportunity to tap into that market share, especially since your biggest competitor is not fully utilizing it, in my opinion. Thanks.
Well, it's a great question. AEW has featured the best hardcore matches, in my opinion, in pro wrestling over the past 6 years, and we will continue to do so. Some of the most exciting, exhilarating, hardcore, hard-hitting fights have been in AEW, and I believe we'll continue delivering that hard-hitting action. Our fans love it, and I grew up watching that kind of hardcore wrestling, and I think AEW's wrestlers put themselves through so much. At many of our pay-per-views, we've seen our wrestlers push it to the next level, and we've had some of the women and men in AEW take some fantastic risks to deliver the most enthralling, exhilarating hardcore wrestling, and certainly the city of Philadelphia embodies that. And we're really excited to be in Philadelphia for AEW Dynasty this weekend. It's a great wrestling town, and it has a great tradition. It's got great hardcore fans, and I know those are the fans, and fans like those fans all over the world that love the kind of action you're talking about, Drew. So I agree with you that AEW can continue delivering the very best hard-hitting action, and our wrestlers are willing to take the biggest risks. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Andrew. From Barcelona with the Miami Herald, we're going to try you again, and you'll be followed by Arunava Ghoshal with Sportkeeda.
Sorry about that before. Just curious about transitioning from three TV shows to two TV shows. What has that been like? Has it been helpful? Sometimes less is more, just in with travel, challenges, positives, negatives, anything like that so far you can touch on. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really excited about AEW in 2025. I think it's been very well received by our fans and our media partners. We've been able to really reach more fans and new fans through our simulcast Wednesday night on TBS and streaming on Max, and Saturday night on TNT and streaming on Max. And we've been able to develop those new fans and keep our great audience on cable for TBS and TNT. And in doing so, I think it has worked very well. What we've had folks saying on Wednesdays up for Dynamite and Saturdays on Collision, it's a great cadence for the fans. And both shows have really been delivering great action every Wednesday and Saturday, respectively. So I think it's worked very well the way we structured our new media rights agreement to build out the simulcast Wednesdays and Saturdays and focus on those shows. And also, it's a deal that added a lot of incremental revenue to AEW and has helped us expand our business tremendously this year with the new revenue. Thanks for asking.
Thanks so much. Aruna Vagoshola with Sports Kita is up next, followed by Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT. Aruna, go ahead. Go ahead, Aruna.
Am I audible? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thanks. Again, very excited for this upcoming event, AEW Dynasty. But Tony, my question is based on what happened on Dynamite, the closing segment that we saw with Mox and Willow and Swerve also involved. So I was just wondering if men versus women fights, intergender matches, is something you were interested in booking, or was this just used for setting up the match for this PPV? Thanks.
Well, we've had some great mixed tag matches over the years when they made sense for the story. And I thought in this case, it made a lot of sense where we've seen Jon Moxley on this collision course with Swerve and going back to the climax of AEW Revolution. These two have been on a path for this huge world championship match this Sunday. And we've seen that Willow has clashed with Marina going back to the conglomerations rivalry with the Death Riders and Orange Cassidy's matches with Jon Moxley. So Willow has a long-term rivalry with Marina Shafir. And now with this top rivalry between Jon Moxley and Swerve Strickland being so much of a focus of the AEW television going into this Sunday's AEW Dynasty pay-per-view event, I thought that the mixed tag and particularly the mixed tornado tag made a lot of sense here. And so I did want to do a mixed tornado tag. I thought it would be a great way for the fans to get a different spin on that road to tag match. And I think it was a great series of events that led to some great drama throughout last night's Wednesday Night Dynamite, the go-home Dynamite before Sunday's AEW Dynasty pay-per-view. Thanks for asking.
Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT is up next, followed by Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone. Samantha? Samantha, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Good, thanks. Really looking forward to this pay-per-view, and I think the build towards it has been really great, especially with the women. And I know that Courtney, you know, already kind of mentioned this before, but we've seen in the last few weeks women main eventing both Dynamite and Collision more often. Is that part of a bigger strategy, with women's wrestling, or has it just been kind of because of the story going into both the pay-per-view and the Owen Cup? And is that something that you'll be doing more often going forward, is putting the women in these main event spots on TV and eventually on the pay-per-view?
Well, I think that these great main events we've seen, whether it was on Grand Slam Australia or recent weeks on Dynamite and Collision, they've had some of the top stars in AEW in these matches, whether it's current champions like Timeless Toni Storm or Mercedes Moné tomorrow night on Collision, or former champion like Jamie Hayter, former AEW Women's World Champion, and a number of other great main events, including the challenger for the World Championship, Megan Bain, and a former TBS champion like Chris Statlander, in addition to other great women involved in some of these matches. We've seen time after time, these have been excellent, excellent fights. Another former world champion like Thunder Rosa involved in these matches. With so much happening and the excitement around Timeless Toni Storm, the World Championship, and a stacked field in the Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament with so many former champions and the TBS champion Mercedes Moné and the ROH Women's World Champion Athena, the action is fast, furious, and exciting across AEW, and with so much exciting stuff in the women's division and so many great top stars, including some of those ones I just mentioned, they have been a great fit for some of these big main event matches that we've had recently on some of the big events, like I said, Grand Slam Australia and a number of the recent Dynamites and Collisions. And a lot of these stories and rivalries are taking center stage for good reason. And in particular, I think there's been a lot of focus on some of these top stars and a lot of exciting things happening for the women and men in AEW. And in particular, I'm excited for those women's matches at AEW Dynasty and what's to come in the Owen Hart Cup. And I think we'll get a great look at that Saturday on Collision in the main event as well. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. And thank you, Samantha. Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone, you're up next, followed by Ella J with A Wrestling Gal. Bill Pritchard, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Are you there?
Hey, I'm very well. Thanks. I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
So I wanted to ask about the Dynasty card. There was the Chris Jericho versus Bandido, the title versus mask match announced, but it's not on the website now, and I didn't hear it during the rundown on Dynamite last night. Just wanted to see if that was still on for this weekend, if there's like a running change, or you could talk about the status of that match.
Well, Chris Jericho is a great question. Chris Jericho put the challenge out. We've never officially announced the match. Chris Jericho has issued a challenge to Bandido, and it's a standing challenge for a title versus mask match. And when, you know, I hope to hear from Bandido's response here. And obviously we still have another show before AEW Dynasty. With AEW Collision this weekend, but certainly Chris Jericho has put that challenge for championship versus mask out to Bandido. It's been an exciting rivalry between those two in recent weeks, and we saw Bandido is extremely fired up after what has become a really personal situation involving his family after what transpired in Los Angeles ahead of AEW Revolution that day. And so I do think it's a great matchup. It's a great rivalry. And I have never confirmed the match for good reasons. And, I think it makes a lot of sense. And it's a great challenge Chris has put out. And we have every intent on Bandido following up and answering Chris. But for good reasons frankly, the availability of Bandido to do the match and have the match play out safely for him and for us, I expect Bandido to answer the challenge when the time is right. And that's all I can really say. But, I always try to look after the well-being of the wrestlers as best as possible, if that makes sense. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Bill. Ella J, a wrestling gal, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Eli Phipps with the Battleground podcast on iHeartRadio. Ella, go ahead. Ella, do you want to try to unmute one more time? We can hear you, Ella.
Awesome. Hi, Tony. I was wondering, for the last like 2.5 years, Athena has mainly been a regular on Ring of Honor television, but obviously now with the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, we've been seeing her back on AEW television. So I was curious, can we expect to see her more on AEW television outside of the tournament?
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on the tournament. I think that's a good question, but really Athena is going to be featured on Collision this weekend, and I'm excited to see how she performs in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. I think Athena's got to be one of the favorites, and I'm excited for the big tag team preview match in the main event of Collision this Saturday on TNT to have the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion Athena wrestling on Collision and teaming with a former TBS champion Julia Hart to take on the TBS champion Mercedes Moné and her bitter rival at times and former opponent Harley Cameron. I think it's very exciting. It's a great matchup and creates a lot of intrigue around the tournament. And as for Athena's future, I think we've got to keep an eye on the tournament and see what the future holds for Athena and AEW and championships. So it's a great question, and I'm excited to see how Athena performs in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Knowing Athena, she's an excellent wrestler. You would expect an excellent performance.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Ella. Eli Phipps with the Battleground podcast on iHeart is up next, followed by Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net. Eli, go ahead. I think we're working through unmuting with Eli. Let's go ahead and try Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net, and then we'll come back to Eli. Jason?
Can you guys hear me?
Yep,
I can, Jason. Hey, man.
Hey, good to talk to you again. I guess my question regards AEW Collision and what happens with the show once Warner Brothers Discovery's NBA deal expires. A lot of speculation it could end up on Thursdays. Is that something you're willing to discuss?
Well, I think we have a great thing on Saturdays. Right now we've consistently been one of the top shows in our time slot, and we've been building a great audience, and Collision is having a great year. We've really performed very well relative to the cable industry on Collision and delivered a consistent winner on Saturdays, and the show is building a lot of momentum. So I think Collision is doing fantastic on Saturdays, and we've had some great opportunities thanks to Warner Brothers Discovery and Mr. Zasloff and the team. You know, just in recent months, we've followed huge events like the college football playoff leading into Christmas Collision at Hammerstein, which was an excellent, excellent live show in New York in the Continental Classic, kicking off with Will Ospreay versus Ricochet and culminating with Darby Allin versus Claudio Castagnoli. That was a fantastic event and a big success for AEW. And then we had massive lead in from the NBA slam dunk contest and 3-point shootout on Saturday, NBA All-Star Saturday night in February, which led into Grand Slam Australia, one of the biggest Collision episodes, maybe the biggest Collision episode, in my personal opinion, the single best episode we've ever done of that show, and maybe the best episode of TV we've ever done, AEW Grand Slam Australia. And then and having March Madness lead-ins just last weekend with huge games on Saturday night featuring Houston versus Gonzaga and Sunday night with Michigan State versus New Mexico. These were great lead-ins for the slam dunk Collision episodes. So the network's giving us great opportunities on Saturday, and now we're building a new audience with streaming as well on Saturdays, with the show simulcasting on Max as well as being on TNT every week, as it has been since the debut every Saturday for years. So I do think we've built great momentum on Saturdays, but I would be open to basically anything within reason the network asked me to do. I am really very proud of the run we're having. We're having great shows right now, and we've had a long, sustained run. We're very close, just weeks away from becoming, with Dynamite, the longest-running weekly primetime professional wrestling show in the history of Turner Sports on TNT and TBS, and it's a big deal. And that run for Dynamite, that consistency, and particularly the hot run of shows recently, I think that's also now extended into Collision, where we've had great episodes in 2025, and trying to build that same kind of great longevity and hoping Collision's here for many, many years to come, just as Dynamite has been one of the most successful shows ever on the network. I do think it's really, really very, very beneficial to us, the great opportunities the network has given us. And I'm very grateful for Mr. Zasloff and all the great chances that we get to go after some of the top sports programming, which has delivered some of the best results in AEW's history. And I know that the network has a focused strategy for us. And I can't say what the future holds, but I know Collision has done really, really well. So, you know, regarding your question, I think they've given us these great opportunities on Saturdays. And if they think something makes sense, I will always be up to work with the network on anything. And I'm very, very grateful for their support. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. And thanks, Jason. We're going to try Eli Phipps with the Battleground podcast on iHeart one more time. And Eli will be followed by Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful. Eli, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for the time today. Congrats on an impressive 2025 so far. So many incredible matches and moments. Very excited for Dynasty this weekend. We recently got the announcement that AEW pay-per-views are available on Amazon Prime now, just giving your fans a different way to watch. Is there any potential for any kind of original programming showing up on Amazon with this partnership building up? Thank you.
We're really focused on the partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery for our TV and streaming, and that is the home of the AEW TV and the events building to these great pay-per-view events. Now we've found a great new pay-per-view partner in Amazon Prime, and that relationship's off to a great start. There's great collaboration between the companies where, you know, you even can order Max through Prime. You can, you know, there's, you can even get a Max subscription to watch AEW through the Prime Amazon app and watch the TV shows there too. So there is a great connectivity and synergy there, but absolutely. I think the best and most consistent home always for the AEW TV shows is going to be TBS, TNT, and now the great library that you can watch on Max. If it's for like new shows and new content, that's always something that we're open to talking about, but our first call when it comes to anything like that is always going to be Warner Brothers Discovery and Mr. Zasloff and the team there that gives us these great opportunities. And then on the pay-per-view side, we have a great new partner with Amazon Prime. And I think that relationship has been tremendous with AEW Revolution being a big success and the Amazon Prime partnership being a big reason for that success. I'm really excited that Amazon Prime is going to continue carrying the pay-per-views, including AEW Dynasty this Sunday. And as far as putting up original content around the pay-per-views, for right now, I think our original content delivery is primarily focused on putting out great Dynamites every Wednesday, Collision every Saturday, building towards these pay-per-views. I think there is possibility of adding more content, but I think the first place to look for that would typically be Eli Warner Brothers Discovery. So it's a great question, but it's a great opportunity for me to also reinforce how important WBD and that relationship is to AEW. And also now, you know, it's a great chance to talk about Amazon Prime and them being a great pay-per-view partner for us. And there are ways to watch the AEW TV through Amazon Prime, if that's that the app you want to use, and connecting a Max subscription through that. I do think it's a really, really exciting time for us working with these new partners. And I think it's worked really well for us in 2025 with all the excitement around the shows and AEW focusing on Dynamite and Collision and building those shows. And really, I think the focus and the quality of those shows in 2025 has been unparalleled. I think this has just been an outstanding run of TV going into Revolution, coming out of Revolution, and now going into this Sunday for Dynasty. I'm very excited for what's to come and glad you're going to be able to order Dynasty on Amazon Prime and watch all the TV on Warner Brothers Discovery on TBS, TNT, and Max. Thanks for asking, Eli. I appreciate it. It's nice to hear from you.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Eli. Up next, we have Sean Ross Sapp with Fightful, and he'll be followed by Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break. Sean?
Thanks for doing this. I know that fan response has always been very important to you, so I'm interested, how do you react when anything on the show like gets a negative reaction, but even something like Death Riders, which online gets more negative reaction than some other things, and trying to parse whether or not it's the right type of heat? I know the word pivot gets thrown a lot around a lot, but how do you weigh that sort of thing and deciding when it's time to pivot or stay the course on things?
Well, it's a great question. I think that fan feedback is very important. Probably the most consistent fan feedback we get week to week is in the form of hearing directly from the fans, commenters, absolutely, but also the data we get from Nielsen and the ratings. And it's a great indicator of the TV audience, which doesn't necessarily verbalize every opinion, but their viewership patterns can speak volumes. And it's a really, really interesting thing to keep an eye on, because whether it's social media, whether it's TV viewership, a number of other business metrics, I think there's a lot of ways that you can track engagement, but also we're all human beings, and sentiment and nuance are a big part of this. And, you know, staying in touch with the fans is important. And I think also realizing that there are a lot of fan opinions that are shared, and there are a lot of fan opinions that are polarizing. And to me, I think viewership data can be very powerful when it comes to trying to interpret what's happening, who's being well received. It doesn't always mean somebody's the most popular wrestler, but it does tend to generate good data when it comes to interest level around a certain wrestler, and then how that interest level changes. And certainly for AEW, I think we do track the popularity of the wrestlers, and we track the engagement around the wrestlers, and those are not always directly correlated. Sometimes wrestlers that don't necessarily get the best reactions from the fans can move the needle in a major way. So it's something to balance. But I think, like you said, we do take great pride in fan feedback and also trying to put on the best show for the fans and listening to the fans. So, you know, I do think our fans have given us great feedback that this year they felt like AEW has been delivering great TV, and that the pay-per-views have been delivering consistently now on a great run. And with the focus and the quality of the TV shows in 2025 on Wednesdays and Saturdays, that really people feel good about the AEW TV product. I feel like the sentiment around the AEW product right now going into Dynasty is maybe the best it's been in many years. I think a lot of things have contributed, and the fans at the live events have been great. The venues, the live events have been great. The wrestlers have been delivering, and that's been something we've had for years, but it's helped to have some of our top stars come back healthy and have a great collection of star power right now. Kenny Omega returning to AEW is very important, and I'm very excited to see Kenny Omega on Sunday. Very excited about that three-way match. We'll get a great chance to take a look at one of his opponents and hear from one of his opponents when Speedball Bailey takes on Dralisico ahead of the big three-way match with Speedball Bailey as a challenger for Kenny Omega's international title. Ricochet will hear from the other challenger in that three-way, Ricochet on commentary for Speedball Bailey versus Dralisico, which should be a really exciting match on Saturday's Collision. I think Saturday we're going to deliver another great TV show, and we're on a great run of TV shows. Very excited about how well received the shows have been with the fans recently, and very excited about everything happening in AEW right now, including the state of the company going into Dynasty, which I do think is a real high note for us right now. Very much appreciative of the sentiment of the fans that they feel like the company is really delivering. And I think that speaks, like I said, the quality of the live fans, live events, the wrestlers and the staff and the production team. And in particular, I think it speaks to the body work. And that is really, really something that going into Dynasty, I'm so proud of. The way the fans have received the AEW shows in 2025, and should be a great Dynasty show on Sunday, and keeping that great run of pay-per-views going. Thanks for asking, Sean.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Sean. Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break, you're up next, followed by Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer. Bill?
Yes, looking forward to covering Dynasty this weekend. You mentioned Speedball Mike Bailey, and on this pay-per-view, we're seeing three people who got All Elite graphics, Speedball Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, and Megan Bain, all kind of in prominent positions. With the NFL draft coming up, I know you're a big talent evaluator, especially when it comes to the undrafted free agents. I want to know, has your philosophy in regards to talent evaluation in regards to free agents changed, especially with the way AEW is going now creatively and post securing a great deal with Warner Brothers Discovery? I want to know if there is a difference in your mindset with how you are looking at free agency going forward.
Well, it's a great question. I think it's a constantly evolving mindset, and the wrestling business changes more than almost any other in some ways. And in terms of never stopping, there's no other sport that puts on shows, has matches, and the athletes go out and work and play their sport and fight each other 52 weeks a year. There's no other sport. There's no other athletes as consistent as pro wrestlers. And there's no fans that follow their sport 52 weeks a year, through all the matches and all the events like pro wrestling. It's very unique, and it is a constantly changing business. And there's new wrestlers coming along, new shows, new ideas, new media platforms. And AEW has changed so much in 6 years. And I think being able to adapt and stay on top of the changes in the business, and also staying on top of the top free agents, has been really important. So in recent years, we've seen a lot of wrestlers come into AEW, wrestlers that had established themselves and built a big reputation on television in other companies, big stars like the Radar superstar Adam Copeland, who's been a two-time TNT champion and is challenging for the AEW World Trios Championship with Rated FTR versus the Death Riders this Sunday at Dynasty, and the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné, in the Owen Hart Foundation Cup against a former TBS champion, Julia Hart. You know, Mercedes and Adam have wrestled all over the world and on television, and they're two of the biggest, best-known pro wrestling stars. And those are huge free agents we brought in with worldwide TV experience. We brought in top international free agents. I think Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada with a two-time former international champion, Will Ospreay, somebody who's going to be wrestling Kevin Knight in the Owen Hart Foundation Cup this Sunday, and the AEW Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada. These are top free agents with great international experience. And then in the past year, we've brought in Ricochet, another top free agent who has both that international experience and a lot of domestic TV wrestling experience and is a very well-known wrestler. And then now just in 2025, you mentioned a lot of great wrestlers also that are going to be wrestling on the pay-per-view, in addition to the ones I just named, with Adam challenging for the World Trios Championship as part of Rated FTR. You've got Ricochet challenging for the AEW International Championship in that three-way match, taking on Kenny Omega and Speedball Bailey. And then you have Speedball Bailey, a new free agent who's come into the company in recent months and jumped right into the fire. You've got Megan Bain, a new free agent, challenging for the AEW Women's World Championship. And she's been on a dominant run of TV during what has been considered to be a banner red hot period recently, currently, of AEW television that Megan Bain's a huge part of. And also to have now Kevin Knight, who has just arrived in AEW and immediately taken advantage of the situation. You know, Jay White has been put out and Kevin Knight has jumped in, and Kevin Knight has become a huge, huge part of AEW very quickly. He's participating in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. We announced this kid is all elite and we think he's got great skills. He's been one of New Japan's top prospects. They felt really strongly about him, and I've worked with him in the past. And now with one of our top stars, Jay White, injured and unable to wrestle in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, which is a shame because Jay has spoken of his desire to wrestle in that tournament, to fight for the world title, to wrestle it all in, all these things that would make a lot of sense for Jay White to wrestle in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. And he had declared he was going to be in it. I wish Jay White was able to wrestle in this. He's a great wrestler for us. And Kevin Knight coming in, stepping in to fill the spot of another top international free agent who's come into AEW, who's reached the top of the profession in New Japan Pro Wrestling, been a top international star like Jay White. It's big shoes to fill for Kevin Knight, taking on another one of the top international stars, Will Ospreay. They made a great tag team last night on Dynamite. I'm looking forward to seeing that exciting, high-flying first-round match, which I think is so consistent with what the Owen Hart Foundation tournament represents. A match like Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight, does that fit in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament? I think it fits like a glove with what the tournament's all about, the kind of high-flying action. And two great wrestlers who participated in New Japan Pro Wrestling, where Owen Hart himself is a former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion and competed in New Japan successfully. So I think it's a great question. I'm really excited about the new free agents and the moves we've made in wrestling free agency in recent years. It's very different from other sports, free agency, transfer windows, trades. It's a very unique sport, pro wrestling, but the athletes are some of the most skilled. They're definitely some of the hardest working. And I think they have the most grueling, consistently challenging schedule in sports to have no time off. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. We're going to close things out today with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Dave, go ahead.
Hello. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, great, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know, one of the things, it's funny, almost every question I was going to ask has already been asked, but the one is, do you have any domestic or international media rights television deals that you would think are about to break or close?
Well, that's a great question. Nothing I can announce here, but we have been working on some big international TV deals. I think that's a great question. We've had some great international growth, and something that I can point to as a case for AEW developing in a market is the growth we've experienced in England in 2025, where both Dynamite and Collision are way, way up year over year, and there's been huge growth double-digit growth on Dynamite and double-digit growth on Collision year over year, consistently, week after week. The shows are delivering for ITV in the UK, and that's a great international partner for us and a relationship I really value. And ITV has been a partner for AEW since the very beginning, and that's another great relationship that's really paid off for us. And I think, you know, we talk about a lot how great the relationship and how important the relationship for AEW is with Warner Brothers Discovery, TBS, TNT, and Max. I think in the UK, we've built something really great with ITV as well, and trying to build strong relationships with TV partners all over the world is really important. And that's something we're working a lot on. And that's a really great question, Dave, because that's one of the areas where I think there can be great growth for AEW. And when you take a look at the competition and how some of the deals have moved, there are a lot of markets in the world right now where I think there are going to be great opportunities for AEW, particularly where our challenger has pivoted to a streaming strategy in a lot of these markets. And it can be a great opportunity for us as the challenger brand in a lot of these markets to grow. And in particular, from our launch, we've grown so much in the UK, where AEW is consistently the most watched wrestling TV shows every week, week in, week out in the UK, thanks to the great partnership with ITV, where the top TV shows in wrestling in the UK are the AEW shows on ITV week in, week out, and they keep growing. And I think that's a great example of how we can be really effective in a market, leveraging the opportunity, trying to find a great partner, build a relationship with that partner, build a relationship, most importantly, with the fans in that market, have the TV grow and develop for years, and then we've had these great milestones we've hit in the UK, where the two biggest AEW shows of all time by far are AEW All In at Wembley Stadium 2023 and 2024. And in particular, we've set the all-time attendance record for professional wrestling ticket sales at AEW All In Wembley Stadium. And I think so much of that is due to the mainstream TV relationship and what we've been able to do on international TV in the UK. And I think partners all over see that and are interested in that growth, and also then eventually hoping to bring AEW live events to their territory. And we've seen that to be a really effective strategy for international and for AEW overall. It's led to our biggest successes when it came to live events and some of our biggest pay-per-views as well. Thanks for asking, Dave.
Thanks, Tony. We are at the end of our time. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we conclude?
Well, it's been great talking to you all. I really appreciate it. The hour has flown by. I love talking wrestling with all of you, and I really appreciate that you all continue to come to these. Thank you for covering AEW Dynasty, and I hope you'll all enjoy the event this Sunday, or I hope you'll all be able to, if you can't attend it in person, hopefully you'll be able to watch it. And if you are attending it in person, I hope to see you at the show. And I tried to answer as many questions as I could today. If there's anybody I didn't get their question, hopefully I'll see you at the Scrum at Dynasty on Sunday or on a future pay-per-view call. I hope to answer your questions. I tried to get everything I could, and thank you everyone who stayed the whole hour. And I really appreciate you all covering this. So many of you have been covering AEW from the very beginning, and I know I've said it before and I will say it again. I really appreciate it. I think all of you giving this a chance and putting attention and focus into AEW and giving us an opportunity and a fair chance is what has helped us grow the business so much. And it's a really exciting time for AEW right now. So thank you all for the opportunity and the coverage you've given us, and for being fair to us and giving us a chance. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Danny, for doing such a great job moderating this. You did a great job. And I really appreciate it. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Thanks so much, Tony, and thank you all for joining. We're now at the end of our time. We'll be distributing an audio recording shortly to all attendees. And thanks again for being a part of today's call. Look forward to you joining us for AEW Dynasty in Philly this Sunday. Have a great day.